This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover all kinds of things around the Umpqua Valley. Today, we wanted to focus on the return of the Roseburg Obon Festival to Stewart Park on Saturday. Eric Fullerton, one of the people involved, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, and it is Obon, right?
Yes, Obon.
Every once in a while, people have not been sure of that. I was pretty sure we had it right, but it's been a while since the festival happened. Any idea how long?
Oh, I wish that I had the numbers, but Obon Festival has been gone from Roseburg since just prior from COVID. So we're in the process of revamping it and bringing it back.
So it's part of the Roseburg Sister Cities program, and you are on the board of that group, right?
Correct. I am the vice president. I am also the student exchange coordinator for the Roseburg Sister Cities organization.
Now, you're a teacher at Melrose Elementary. You've
yes.
been around here for a long time.
Yeah.
Talk about, before we get into all the events and what's going to be happening on Saturday, how about your experience when, because I know, if I'm correct, you made a trek to Japan way back.
Yes, actually, my first interaction with Japan was through almost the same middle school program that I'm leading now. So when I was in middle school, I actually remember the Obon Festival in Roseburg, Oregon. And when I went to Joseph Lane Middle School, I was one of the student participants who both hosted and went over to Japan. And then after multiple years, both college and coming back, I was given the chance to work for the organization and help bring about some of the other events that we have going on. So I'm really excited to be part of it.
So when you were in middle school, what was it that made you go ask your parents for money to go to Japan?
So I just had kind of a fascination at the time with anime and manga, and it was really interesting the fact that the schools even had the opportunity or an organization program that did a foreign exchange to go travel abroad.
And being in Roseburg, traveling abroad, a lot of times is a brand new experience.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But it's very exciting.
And was that your first time out of the country?
That was not my first time out of the country, but it was Canada before that. So it was my first significant travel across.
And how big a group did you go with the first year?
I think the year that I went, there were about 20 students from the local middle schools. And then we stayed with 20 students over in, at the time, our sister city was Shobu, Japan.
And one of the, I don't know if it was one of your teachers, but one of the teachers along the way is kind of who started this.
Yes. So one of the teachers from Joseph Lane Middle School actually in 1987 was one of the first people to really start getting the exchange to go. And from that point, they kind of made it more official around the year 1993. And from that point on, we've just been able to kind of keep it going. And it's about 40 years that the program has been running.
Wow. And now for Shobu, which is now part of Kuki City, I guess they kind of merged, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you can think of it kind of like the Eugene Springfield area, and there was a smaller city in between that just kind of got absorbed into it. So Shobu is still certainly a part of Kuki City.
How big is the population?
Oh, I wish I had the numbers on that, but I don't off the top of my head.
But bigger than Roseburg.
Yes, it is bigger than Roseburg.
And any idea how Shobu got picked originally?
I do not have that information, no, but I would love to hop back on some other point and maybe give some more historical things about the organization, too.
Well, I know that sometimes the idea of taking kids on travel out of the country, people always get a little nervous sometimes if as adults, if they haven't traveled. I mean, I'm well, look at me. At my age, you know, last fall was my first trip ever to Europe.
Oh, wow.
Awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And that was like, why did I not do this earlier? Well, honestly, a lot of times that was money when you had kids around and to take care of and all that. So for the Sister Cities organization, then, this has been a long time thing. I know that you kind of... outside of COVID and everything with that, we'll just skip over that. Has everybody would like to. basically kind of take kids 1 year and have people come the other the next year, right?
Yeah, so actually we have two different sides of the program. The first one is the student organization, and we host 1 year and then we travel the next. So we actually just completed our host year. We had 16 Japanese students who were in Roseburg, in the Roseburg area. We took them around to Diamond Lake. We did a whole bunch of adventures all over Roseburg and Douglas County. And then this upcoming summer is our travel year where I get to take all of the students from Roseburg. We also do have an adult delegation, and theirs is usually in October. But it is a similar concept of an exchange. It's not the one that I lead, but the adult delegation usually is early to mid-October that does the same group of adults who hosts 1 year and then travels the next. And this year for them, they get to travel.
So how many days are folks usually here or there?
It's typically somewhere between 10 days to 14 days. Depends on whether you're with the student organization or the adult delegation and the activities planned in both locations.
So when the kids here go over there, where are they staying?
So when students travel, we try to pair them with a host family that they will be knowledgeable of and form a relationship with for 2 years. So when students traveled here from Japan, they were hosted by some amazing local families, and they get to live with a family who has a similar age and gendered teen. And then when the students travel, they get to stay with the same family that they have already started forming a relationship with.
So it's not the, you know, it's not the tourist treatment.
You're
getting the legit, this is life in Chōbu.
Yes, you get to live everyday life in Chōbu or in Kuki City. You get to have, for the students, you get to have an actual experience of a day in the life of a Japanese student, which is really cool too.
You know, when I was in but guess my freshman year, I got to do that in Mexico for like 3 weeks.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
You know, and the exact same kind of thing. You were staying with host family. They had a kid, and but then you did everything else as a group. So that was just a mind-blowing experience.
Yes. And we do have group activities that we do together over there as well. But it's amazing that you get to live with a family.
How many of the kids that go know very much Japanese before they get there?
So the requirement for knowing Japanese is not there. We try to provide instruction in Japanese before we travel as well as before we host. So we actually pair with a few community members who are really passionate about teaching kids different cultural and language elements, which is really amazing. But we really try to make sure that students know at least emergency phrases, as well as some necessities of where's the bathroom or...
Right, and the Google Translate program seems to help with a lot of that.
Oh, so much. I remember when traveling myself and only having a pocket dictionary. Now it's amazing you can have full conversations just through technology.
But even if you're able to learn a bit of the language,
I imagine you get... substantially.
You know, and the people that you're with really appreciate that you're making that effort.
Yes, certainly.
Wow. So let's talk about Saturday a little bit before our break.
Yeah.
One day event, Stewart Park, and you're kind of taking over different sections of the park. Tell us what's going to be going on.
Yeah, so we have a few different areas of Stewart Park that we're going to be doing our event in. So there will be the large pavilion that is towards the upper section, not down by the river on the stage. So the large pavilion is going to have a few different things there. We're going to have the Roseburg Sister Cities Welcome Table. And so anyone who stops by will get to see part of the organization. It will also have our resale table, which are authentic items from Japan that we either have collected or have been gifted. And those are going to be items for resale that help support the organization as a whole. It also will have our Chōchin Lantern display. It will have Tabletop Kingdom there, as well as Eugene Bonsai. And then down next to our stage, we're going to have a bunch of different vendors. We'll have food as well, but our vendors include Yamada Vending Company, Clark Studio and Gallery, Bleeding Heart Books, Linda Russell Matney, Jessica's Ovens Delight, Wiley's Wagon, and Ice Hut, as well as Thrive Unqua and Eugene Bonsai will all be there.
So a lot of things going on, and opportunity for people to come for a little while or really come for an extended period of time with some of these special performances.
Oh, yes. And we have a schedule posted on the Roseburg Sister Cities Facebook page. The event goes from about 12 o'clock or noon until 8 p.m., and we have a pretty rigorous schedule that's planned for both performances as well as activities throughout the park.
All right, we're going to talk more with Eric Fullerton when we come back to interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. We're talking about the Shobu Festival and the Sister Cities program happening, the program happening Saturday at Stewart Park in Roseburg. I imagine after a few years of not doing it, Eric, that kind of restarting the Shobu Festival really took a lot of work.
Oh, certainly. And I give all the props to multiple board members, but it was kind of led and taken on by one of our board members, Autumn Mann, as well as Janet Johnston, our president, and Amy McCormick, as well as multiple other board members who were really passionate and excited about bringing back events into the Roseburg community and not just focusing on the exchanges.
And so you are bringing in some people that are pretty talented. And,
oh, yes.
I've got some unique gifts here on Saturday. Talk about them.
Yeah. So we have a pretty rigorous schedule that will happen from about noon until about 8 p.m. But some of our key performances include at 1 p.m. We have Masumi Timson, who will be joining us. She has a master's degree in music from a really prestigious conservatory in Japanese traditional music, and she plays both classical and contemporary koto music. We also have storytelling that's going to be done by Joe Ross, and he'll be presenting some really cool folk tales from old Japan using a traditional storytelling technique. It's really visual as well as auditory, so if you're in the area, please join by. That's around 2 p.m. At 3 p.m., we're going to be doing our Obon dance practice. The Obon dance is a really traditional dance that everyone from a novice to an expert can join in on. And our big Obon dance is going to be later in that evening, but we'll have a dance practice. So if you are not sure if you have two left feet or not, come join us during that time, and we'll make sure that you know all the steps. At 4 o'clock, we have Oregon Kodokai coming, and Oregon Kodokai is they blend traditional and modern Japanese music using Japanese koto. After that, we will have another brief Obon dance practice. Following that, we also have at 5 p.m. Eugene Taiko coming in. Taiko is a large drumming organization. So Eugene Taiko is a community-based Japanese drumming ensemble. They've been performing across Oregon since I think it was 1989 that they've been performing. And then after that, we will be having our 7 o'clock Obon dance and then our 8 o'clock closing messages, as well as some thank yous for the community.
So how different is Japanese culture than the U.S.?
You know, one of the really interesting things in all of the travel that I've done is cultures might be pretty different, but we all celebrate things in really common ways. And so even though the culture might visually seem incredibly different from the United States, and there certainly are different cultural practices, there's a lot of times where you'll be able to find similarities in how we celebrate things. So Obon is one of those things where it's all about celebrating gratitude about family and community. It brings the community together. It's a celebration more than it is a mourning. And so, yes, there are certainly cultural differences between Japan and the United States, but it's really cool to see the commonalities.
Now, talking to other people who have who are Japanese, who I've yes. interacted with along the way, in some of the areas, I know that the, how do you say it, the population density is pretty intense.
Yes,
certainly. Some of the big cities, is Shobu like that?
Shobu and Kuki City are not as immensely packed as some of the larger areas like Tokyo, but it is a larger city feel, but it's spread across an area. So it kind of gives me the vibe of like the Eugene Springfield area. There's a lot of people in it, but there's still a lot of area.
I just remember talking to somebody who was visiting here from Japan and said, for instance, in the neighborhood I live in, they said, oh, we could put like 2,000 people here.
Oh,
yes. You know, and we have like on our couple of streets, we have, you know, 30 houses maybe.
Yes.
So, you know, and you think about that and go, my gosh, that is, limited land space, big population. That's one of the things that's probably a little different.
Yes, certainly. I do think it's really interesting and fun sometimes when students visit, as well as adults, to look at the areas around, because what we might imagine as a bigger city, if you think of like downtown Roseburg or Eugene Springfield, is not a big city at all to them. And just as a brief example, when the students were here, we went and we camped out at Lone Pine by Mill Pond in the Rock Creek area, and we discussed the size of the fire was 6.5 times the size of Kuki City. So if you think about the size compared to Roseburg, it's pretty substantial to where their cities are certainly larger than ours.
So for people that find all this interesting, but something is kind of a brand new thing, how do they learn more about the Sister Cities program?
Yeah, certainly. So we have an online presence at RosebergSisterCities.org. We also have a Facebook presence. We have both a student group and the overall organizations group. So if you look us up at Roseburg Sister Cities Incorporated, we would amazingly welcome anyone who is in the area on Saturday to come by. We will have our welcome table there with board members as well as some other community members who would gladly speak about the organization, what we do, the concept of some of our upcoming events for the community too. There's a lot of ways to connect.
So how many kids do you normally take over when you're taking groups?
So every year we try to have 10 new students onboarded, and they have a two-year commitment. So it's about 20 total, but every year we seek 10 new students.
So then if they are going, then their families are hosting the next year, is that
correct? Correct. Yep. It's a two-year commitment when you sign on. And so this upcoming year, if you're interested in the program, you'd be looking at traveling with us to Japan, but then the following summer you would be a host family for a Japanese student.
And now does the adult program work about the same way?
It works similarly, but it is not necessarily as strong of a two-year commitment. The preference is still there so that you have some of those relationships, since our organization really strives to make the relationship as the focal point. But you could certainly sign on more for just 1 year as the traveler, 1 year as the host.
So how many times have you been to Japan?
I have been to Japan twice. And I will be going the third time this upcoming summer.
So you had a big gap in there.
I did. A really large gap, yep.
So I imagine, though, for people who have done this multiple times, and I'm aware of some of them, you really have the opportunity to form some really long-term relationships.
Oh, certainly. I give tons of props to our organization's current president, Janet Johnston, who has been back and forth with Japan and working with the organization for years and years. And whenever people come over, she knows all of the connections of who they're related to. And it's really fun to see those who have been involved in the organization for so long and all of the connections that they have both here and abroad.
Now, I wonder, way back, how Japan was picked as, okay, let's do a cultural experience, take some kids somewhere, how they decided Japan.
I kind of would be interested too. I know Harold Winfield was kind of the founder of the whole thing. And, again, back in 1987 was kind of that formative year of forming the relationship. But I'm going to have to poke around and see why it was Japan specifically.
Yeah, pretty fascinating. Well, really a unique opportunity for kids in the Umpqua Valley. Over the years, in the kind of limited amount of travel I've done, one of the things I have realized is there are some folks, and it's not usually tied to economic circumstances, some folks that just have opted not to travel at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last time I went to Mexico, the group I was with, there were multiple people who had never left this part of Oregon.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about the money. it just mm-hmm. was they hadn't really got around to doing it. What do you get out of that when you just leave and go to something totally different?
I think one of my biggest things is always a phrase that I write anytime that I travel abroad is there are no purple trees. So that kind of stems back from when I was in middle school traveling over abroad, when I landed in Japan and looking around and realizing it's a city, it has grass, it has trees, it has people. There's so many more commonalities than I think that we really don't visualize very often in different cultures. And so you get a broader sense of the others, maybe not so other.
Wow, good stuff. So again, the website for the organization?
Yeah, so the website for the organization is www.rosebergsistercities.org.
And if people want to find out more about the schedule of things and the events for this Saturday.
Oh, certainly. Please look us up on Facebook. We have an event. You can look up Roseburg Sister Cities. You could look up Obon Festival Roseburg. And you can find us there certainly at any time.
Eric Fullerton from the Sister Cities program and the Roseburg Obon Festival. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.